All right, we welcome in our good friend from 93.7 The Ticket in Lincoln, and of course, Husker Online, the great On3 crew. It is Stephen M. Sipple. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys in Omaha today?
We're doing well. We got our Omaha face on. How are things in Lincoln?
Oh, it's sort of delightfully gray.
Oh. Well,
good. That'd be a great lead to a column.
Delightfully great.
Great chilly spring day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, someday the sun will come out. Hey, have you ever covered or seen a no-hitter in person?
Ah, there's a question.
That's why I asked.
I don't think. God, you'd think I'd know it if I did. No,
would,
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say no because I can't. I think I'd remember it.
Hmm. Okay.
Jackson Brockett, however, got it done.
He did. And they needed that. I said when we started the show this morning, it's the one thing that makes sports so great because that was one of the more random outcomes in the history of Nebraska athletics. You did not see that coming at all. And to have a guy that had pitched 5 1/3 innings throw a solo no-hitter against a pretty good team in the midweek, I mean, come on, what are we talking about here?
Right, 9-inning no-hitter. I mean, it's a 9-inning no-hitter you don't see in college baseball probably very often. I think you guys know far more about baseball than I do, but 107 pitches is really that strikes me as really efficient.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, probably one reason he could do it. I wonder how many pitches they would have let him get to, and that's I just don't know what his capability is, what his physical capability is. I mean, you can stretch some guys out longer than others depending on how they pitch and all that. But 107 is, I mean, just obviously had a good night, 12 strikeouts. And you're right, they did need it. The midweek, unfortunately for Nebraska baseball, the midweek discussion, because of their lack of success in the midweek, has become so much part of the narrative. When in fact Nebraska's having a good season. I mean, they're a game out. Are they a game out or a half game out in the Big Ten race? They're right in the thick of it. They're an NCAA tournament. So I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad Jackson Brockett accomplished that, if only because it sort of shifts the narrative a little bit.
You're right, and. Sip, I don't think this is just exclusive to baseball, too. When you get to this point of the season in a crucial month where this is the same month that you'll be playing in conference tournament action, and you're right, from an RPI standpoint, they're in great position for an NCAA tournament. You get those moments where an unlikely impact type of guy is the difference. And to your point, a game that wasn't necessarily going to get you out of the NCAA tournament conversation, but it changes the narrative more than anything. As you set into this month, you're looking for good things to draw off of. If nothing else, you get that. You obviously get the RPI bump, but you get that where it's, you know it, you've been around sports a long time. You have that type of feeling going into what's an important week and what's an important month when you can draw off of that type of moment to change a narrative. That can be very powerful for any team.
Oh, yeah, it could be long-lasting. You know, it's, of course, it depends what they do with it. But to have a chance, it's good. You go right, turn around. You know, turn around, when they get on the buses to go, but pretty quickly, go right up to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And it's a very manageable series. Minnesota's 6-9 in the Big Ten. It's probably you expect Nebraska to win. So, yeah, I mean, this is a really, really a potentially critical development in a good way.
Yep.
I mean, what you hope is, if you're a Nebraska fan, is you do look back on that moment and say, you know what, that's when the narrative shifted. And not just the outside narrative. I mean, there's an inside narrative too, which is more important, but the outside narrative isn't relevant. So it's big. It's a big night. Big kind of a, like you guys said, it came out of nowhere in a good way.
Steve Sipple joining us. 6 weeks, the college basketball season has been over for Nebraska. They added a 7-footer. I always like when they add a 7-footer because we can talk about Rich King, Kelly Lively, Jorge Brian Diaz, other 7-footers that have come through here. Now we get to talk about a 7-foot-1 guy from Washington. How would you assess Fred's last 6 weeks in reconstructing this roster when you know that there's no chance that Atominaga and Alec are going to play any more minutes?
Why? Well, I like it. I do. Why? Here's why. Because I like shooters. I mean, everybody does, but it just, I don't know. I've said this on your show before, I think. College basketball and some teams like Cincinnati comes to mind where you look at them and they're really beautiful when they're warming up. Then they start playing and you just realize they can't shoot at all. They don't have, maybe they have one, but they just don't. You know, if they're going to win, it's going to be a rock fight. I don't know if Cincinnati's still like that, but they were for many years. Nebraska, I like that Fred goes after guys that can shoot. They can literally shoot. Bryce Williams is a pure, beautiful shooter. So he adds the kid from Wisconsin, Connors, I'm going to say Cesians is his name.
Got it. Nailed it.
Gavin Griffith. Those guys, now, you're going to say, or some people are going to say, now, wait a second, their numbers aren't great. Yeah, they're not. They weren't for this year. But they have past performance that's good, and I can see a shooter. I saw when Gavin Griffith came off the bench against Nebraska. He's a shooter. I mean, he is a pure shooter. Didn't have great numbers most of the season, but he did come on late. And I watched other games, and I thought it was interesting that he ended up at Nebraska because when I was watching him, I was thinking, oh, he's going to be good in this league. And now he's at Nebraska. Beautiful. Connor Cesians, the 10th all-time leading scorer in Indiana prep history. You know he can score. Mm-hmm. So I like that. And I like the 7-footer. I watch his film and I guess I'm sort of confused why his numbers aren't better. I think last year it's explained by a couple injuries, an ankle and I think in a wrist injury that limited him. Now, the previous year, 2022-2023, he did have okay numbers, and he was an all Pac-12 defender. I love him. I mean, he looks to me like a 7-foot-1 Alec. I mean, that's what he looks like. I mean, make Alec 7-foot-1. That's pretty good. He's a quick jumper at 7-foot-1, like quick off the floor. You don't always see that. He doesn't have to gather himself. He's up, and his eyes are at the rim. He doesn't shoot it. He's not a shooter. He's not gonna go out and even from 10 feet and score. Mm-hmm. But he's a dunker and he runs the floor really well, and he defends well. Oh, I just think I love the addition, and I think they're better. I think that Fred improved them. You don't know for sure how all the pieces are fit, and you live in a world where he's doing it through the portal now. I mean. You look at their roster configuration, and it's very senior-oriented team again. You're going to have to flip it again. But I'm not worried about 2 seasons from now. This team looks pretty good. The one thing I wonder about now is you go get a power forward. You get 2 scholarships left. You try to get a legit backboard-breaking power forward.
I think of the depth. Especially, you mentioned Griffith and Asesian, figuring out if either will start, who, if one will, Worcester, you know, maybe at the point guard. There's a lot of options, which I think are great. And you bring up a point that I'm curious where your confidence level is, and that is, yeah, there's more transfers, but are we now confident that Fred has been able to identify the transfers in the right way? Obviously, these guys have ability, and I'm 100% with you, especially on Asesian. I'm excited about him. I think Gavin Griffith shows a lot as well. But the fact that Fred is also looking at the team dynamic as well, that these are not just guys that can come in, we hope it works out, but these are character guys that are going to work within that locker room that we've now seen very important in the last 2 seasons.
Yeah, it's so hard to answer that. I don't know. I don't know what the makeup's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when you're going into the portal, you're trying to find players that, you know, that would fit together from a chemistry standpoint, and it's not just a total crapshoot, and it's just we're going to get these guys and hope that they mesh.
Right.
some of that. I mean, I think there's inevitably the way it's working now in college sports, there's some of that. And it worked. It worked this past season for them. Will it work again? That's what you're getting at. I don't know. I just like that. I'm glad you mentioned Worcester, however you pronounce his name, Raleigh Worcester. He's an interesting part of this. I don't know that he'll be the point guard. It could be Euless. But I don't know what the lineup will look like. I just know I like the individual pieces right now.
Let's shift to football. I get the impression that in terms of injuries, Nebraska got lucky with Bly Hill. It's not like season ending. It's significant, but not where you don't even think about him in the fall. Are you hearing the same thing?
Well, yeah, it's Sean. You know, Sean Callahan, that's what he is. He's basically reported, he says it on our video, that Bly Hill may have escaped major damage. Demetrius Bell is another story. Probably a tougher situation for Demetrius Bell. I hope Bly Hill, I don't know. It's tricky. It's just tricky to speculate. Yeah. But it definitely sounds like it's, and Rule really out of the gate. That's what he said, that he thought that Bly Hill's injury was not as significant as Demetrius Bell's.
Hey, so sticking with injuries in the defensive backfield, because, you know, let's say they got to find another starting cornerback, and, you know, maybe Ethan Nation put his hat in the ring. But what are you hearing about Singleton? Because Matt Rule, Sip, he stood in front of us last year and said, man, that guy's an NFL guy. And he made huge strides to put himself in a position to play a lot, and then he got hurt. And it was an adjustment because you were missing a good player like Singleton. What are you hearing on his rehab, where his availability when we turn around and we get ready for fall?
Well, somebody asked that on our message board yesterday, and I didn't know how to answer. I didn't hear Rule address it. If he did, it was early. I think he'll be fine. He's interesting to me because I do think he could be one of their better defenders. You know, and he's interesting to me because he did play corner. He played some corner in JUCO. Yeah. I don't know if at this stage of Deshaun Singleton's career, that's an option. He's so big and he's so good in the box. It's really interesting to me that if he's, I don't think he played corner, I guess. I don't even know why I raised it. I don't think that's what they do. He does become more critical in my mind because you might, you know, maybe you'd move Buford from safety to corner. I don't, what you're getting at is what do you do with that corner opposite Tommy Hill? That looked like it was Bly Hill's job. Now, Jeremiah Charles, I think you'd look at. You'd mention Ethan Nation. You could move Hartsog safety into that spot. Buford can play corner. There's a lot of different things you can do because you're in pretty good shape in the secondary depth-wise. But I think you're in better shape in terms of top-end talent at safety than you are corner. So it makes me a little nervous. But they have some, they definitely have options there.
I want to get your thoughts on it because it's going to be a conversation until we get into the season opener, and that is the quarterback position, Dylan Raiola, what he means to it, but also the way Matt Rule handles that conversation. And I think as you put it, the tightrope of being complimentary, but also not putting the weight of the world on him. Do you think that is just something that is probably easier said than done? I would like to think more coaches would do that, but it seems kind of rare, especially when you don't have really anybody that you would consider to be, and this is nothing against Heinrich Harburg, but to be a considerable threat to be in the way of Dylan Raiola. We all saw it with our own eyes. There's just something special about him. I feel like maybe that is a little bit more challenging to manage that than what people would give credit for.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's so much that goes in. You guys have covered college football for a long time. You guys have been around athletics for a long time. There's so much that goes in to being a good head coach. I wouldn't say there's so much that goes into being a head coach, but there's so much that goes into being a good head coach. Like, there's things you don't think about, like this. Mm-hmm. Like being a skilled communicator and saying the right things in a situation, in a situation like this, that's pretty nuanced. Yeah, it does seem pretty evident who the quarterback is, who the starting quarterback should be, but he happens to be a true freshman. And then you happen to have a guy that we are suggesting is number two that was 5-3 as the starter last year and is a junior. So, yeah, okay, now you're in sort of a delicate situation, right? But it really helps if the leader of the program is a skilled communicator and is capable of handling that level of nuance, because it's there. And he does it. He does it well. He portrays a situation that is suggests that the competition's open. And you know what? It is open. It is technically open.
Technically.
And that's because it's open because the head coach says it's open. And he makes it seem like it's pretty legit. And that's a skill. And you know what, though? I try to be very respectful to Heinrich in this conversation. He is the incumbent. He said he's the incumbent. You heard it. You guys were there the other day. He said, look, I'm approaching this like I'm the incumbent. God bless him for that. He should do that. Mm-hmm. But it is a situation where it just seems like there's an inevitability to all this, an inevitability based on what we saw in the scrimmage, and an inevitability based on what we heard throughout the spring, and inevitability, hell, you see Dylan on the stage with, is it Zach Bryan? Is that the country singer?
That'd be right.
Yep. The backup quarterback's typically not up on a stage like that.
It's true. Really?
That's Dylan Raiola, you know.
But we can all agree, Nebraska's backup option is better than it was last year, and it's kind of the same guy, which says about what they're doing with the room and what they're doing with Heinrich.
Good point.
But there's still got to be guys that block in front of him. So Scott's going to be snapping the ball. We think we know who our tackles are. Have we figured out the guard positions?
No. I mean, I think Mazuka is a big part of that, and he looked pretty good.
He did look good on Saturday.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. I think that's what they want. Of course, that's what they want. They brought in a transfer who's a 21-game starter. That's who they want. Justin Evans is a big part of that conversation. I think Evans will be a starter, okay? I mean, I think he'll be a starting guard. Probably the right guard is what I imagine. And Mazuka would be the left guard, and I think that's what we're talking about. And that would be the best-case scenario. Henry Latovsky is also in that conversation, and he has 4 starts, if I'm not mistaken. And he's been okay. I hope I'm not missing someone. Evans, Latovsky, and Mazuka would be your top 3 guys in that conversation. Am I missing somebody?
And then I think I would put Sam Sledge at 4.
Okay.
But I think they've created more depth at guard than they have at tackle, which still worries me.
There's no doubt about that. And I don't know exactly. Yeah, you're really hoping Benhart and Prochazka can stay healthy. Gunnar Gatula would be in that conversation. Tyler Nax in that conversation, the transfer that didn't play much last year. Yeah, you seem to be better off in the interior for sure.
Yep.
What you wonder about Bricks a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
I wonder how quickly they can push Grant Bricks along.
Well,
because I think he would be a tackle option, maybe.
Hey, there's where they come into. They're going to have more than a handful of guys where they can play with that 4-gamer to still redshirt them. And then if they prove different, then you're like, well, here we go. So I think there's going to be – Bricks to me would fit into that category. Sip, as always, I appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your morning enjoyment on TikTok.
I need to stay off there. All right, thanks, guys.
If I opened up your phone – and your For You page on TikTok, what's the first video you think is going to show up? What will be the theme of that
Ryan
video?
Garcia. Something about Ryan Garcia. I would never let you do that, first of all. But,
why not, Sip?
Garcia's captivated me in a bad way. I think he represents about everything that's wrong with this country. But yeah, probably Garcia stuff.
Yeah, we're not gonna have time to talk about that. That's a bad deal. What was revealed yesterday? But I maybe if you get on your TikTok, Shaboozy, the bar song. That's the new hot summer song.
Oh.
Listen to it. Let me know.
Okay. All right. I will. I'll check that out.
All right. Thanks, Sip.
All right. See you.
It's Stephen M. Sipple, Mr. TikToker.
I just want to hear.
Has not made a TikTok.
I want to hear Sip say Shaboozy.
It's an addictive song. It's everywhere now on TikTok. If you guys still on TikTok, but yeah, it's
the, I have it, it, but it's not on.
A
there.
Bar song
yet?
Getting tipsy at the bar.
It's not
one,
like
two,
the margaritas.
Three, two, the four. It's kind of.
It's getting there.
It's
more wholesome.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be the summer song. If you didn't know it,
so I look forward to listening
all
to
over
it.
TikTok now. Everybody's
when it
making
makes it on Twitter.
Everybody's making TikTok and also Geek-a-Leak.
Not Freak-a-Leak.
No,
Geek-a-Leak. We're younger.
Geek-a-Leak, and it is overlaid on Walt Disney performances.
Oh, whoa.
So Mickey.
What a mashup here.
Mickey getting after it. 8:54. Brian Edwards still do.
You're so cultured.
Come?
You're just so cultured now on TikTok. You're older than me, and you're so in the know when it comes to all the culture.
What do you want to know on my TikTok?
How are the flight attendants doing? Are they still?
I've not gotten anything on.
They're
flight
not putting
attendants
out the TikToks. Do you put out TikToks?
No, I don't have time for that. Okay, so
year,
so basketball. My first TikTok this morning is from the Food Network. They're making bagel egg and cheese sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds good.
Mine was food.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And then a lot of sports stuff. Oh, Travis Kelce.
Okay,
checks out.
What's he up to?
He's walking on his campus.
He's got a podcast.
Yeah.
Count
so
some,
nothing.
Count some
got a
new
job.
I got some food. I spent a lot of time looking at food the other day, so I'm getting a lot of food stuff.
That's been my thing on Instagram is the food reels.
That's good.
Yeah.
A lot of good Blackstone suggestions, which I always appreciate.
Oh, by the way, there was a hot dog roller downstairs, and it got thrown away when they had the big clean out here a few months ago. So you guys could have gotten one. And it worked. It was just dirty. It needed to be some TLC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mike Neville's been so good at. Remember, he was. Like, there were a bunch of razors and stuff he was alerting us to. How did this one slip through the cracks? Mm. I mean, I know we didn't have the conversation back then, but who doesn't?
To be fair, you're not thinking about, hey, do we have an extra hot dog roller at work, and can I get a pen?
Who doesn't?
That should be a question you should ask daily.
Yeah. Has anybody got a hot dog roller that they're, looking to part with?
Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on Sneak Leak.